This morning after I spoke, there were a couple of chaver. Two of the women said to me afterwards that they wanted to scream out from Ezra's Nashim. Which, by the way, I believe that the world would be a lot better if they would scream out from the Ezra's Nashim. They wanted to ask, Lamaisa, what are we supposed to do? It's a terrible feeling of helplessness. I'm not going to talk about the Indian. It's too much. It's too much. But I want to talk in the context of what we were learning last week. Because here too, there are a few of the chevra that asked some questions about it, and I see that I didn't explain it enough. So I want to talk about it more tonight. So if any of you have not yet confused, you for sure will be confused after I explain it. But the eitzah, as far as what we could do, is tchias ha-meisim, no? It's an easy eitzah. To bring the dead back to life, right? Tchias ha-meisim. It's an eitzah. The Baruch Hashem gave us an eitzah called tchias ha-meisim. Everybody here knows, and I've said it many times, the Holy Kotzke, they say Pshischa also, but it sounds more like the Kotzke. That the Kotzke said that the Baruch Hashem knows that he has the ability to bring the dead back to life, but he'd much rather bring the living back to life. It's a bigger chachma to bring the living back to life. Achal Pichin, we'd like to know how to bring the dead back to life. So that's what we're going to talk about. But as a way of understanding ba'oimik, what we were talking about last Matzah Shabbos, but even if you weren't here last Matzah Shabbos, we could still understand this in you, hopefully, together. It's a big, big sugya. It's the sugya of Purim. For those who have been here for all the past shiurim, you'll understand the context of what we're learning. Finding ourselves in the mitzias of who we are and leaving that ein mitzias, the unreal delusion of the kayach hamadama, of dimyon, of imagination, of the world that's not a world. It's very well known from the Gra. The Vilna Gaon Sfusa Yelena said that Purim is coming to complete Yom Kippur. Now, it already says in the Tikkuni HaZoyer and the Kisvei Ari, it already says that Yom Kippurim is Yom Kippurim, Yom Kippurim. But the Goyin adds something. The Goyin says that Yom Kippur is waiting to be finished, and it's finished on Purim. It's finished on Purim. The Pachad Yitzchak Rav Hutner Zeches HaGavroch, it's not working. The Pachad Yitzchak Rav Hutner said. Rav Hutner said that Yom Kippur and Purim are two sides of one matbeya, are two sides of one coin. Well, there's a shekel hakodesh, and each one is a half shekel. Yom Kippur is a matzah shekel, and Purim is a matzah shekel. Together we have Yom Kippurim. We have a complete shekel, b'shekel HaKadosh. Pashtus, on a simple level, the Gra explained that they're both days of Kabbalah Satayr. They're both days of receiving Torah. Since on Yom Kippur, Moshe Rabbeinu brought down the second Luchas, the second tablets, on Yom Kippur. And Purim, everybody knows, is Hada Kiblu B'me'ach HaShveirish. On Purim, Kimu V'Kiblu, Purim, we accepted the Torah again with love. Purim is a day of Kabbalah Satorah. Kimu V'Kiblu. Kimu Masha Kiblu Kvar. We accepted completely, but this time, without coercion, with love, we accepted the Torah. So the Gaon says that on a simple level, these 2 days of Yom Kippur and Purim are days of Kabbalah Satam. And the two together, those two, Yom Kippur, or Yom Kippurim and Purim together, create the one matbeah, the one reality of a Jew be'emes, receiving the Torah. If it would just be Yom Kippur, it would be a half a Kabbalah Satam. If it would just be Purim, without Yom Kippur, it also be a half a Kabbalah, a Machzor Shekel, a half a Kabbalah Satam. But together, the two, Yom Kippurim and Purim, it's Kabbalah Satam. That's be'emes, to receive the Torah. We need to understand this ba'aymak. And it's not an easy inyan. We'll try to talk about it a little bit. Bringing the dead back to life. It's easier than it sounds, but it's not so easy. Tshuva is itself the process of tchiyah, of reviving the dead. Tshuva itself, to become better, is a bechina of tchiyas ameis. The Maharal, at the very end of Nesiv HaTshuva, in the Nesiv HaSoilim, in the Nesiv HaTshuva, if you have a chance, take a look. The Maharal says an extraordinary thing. He says that be'emes, the essence of a Jew, is his seichel, is his neshama. This is what we've been learning about the past few weeks. The metzias of a Jew is his seichel. His seichel and the neshama, that's the metzias of a Jew. And in the metzias of who we really are, the Maharal explains, chait, sin, is absurd. It doesn't have any place in the true reality of a Jew. Remember, the reality is seichel, is neshama. In that place of who we really are, chait, sin, is absurd. Where does sin come from? Chazal call it a ruach shtus, a temporary insanity, a spirit of narishkeit. Sin comes from the other half of the shekel. Because the neshama is part of who we are. It's true. It's the essence. It's the deepest part. But the other part of the shidduch is the guf, is the body. And the Maharal explains that any time that a person pulls himself away from chait, which is what tshuva is, any time that a person tears himself away from something that's wrong, from something that's against the Ratzon Hashem, it means that he is returning, listen carefully, his returning to chaye haneshama, to the life of seichel, to the true inner life of what a Jew is. And by returning to dargas haseichel, which in the language of the Maharal means, by returning to the neshama, to the soul, by returning to who I am, by returning to the deeper metzias of my existence, ha-chochma techaye ba'lev, says in Pasuk, chochma seichel, the neshama is what gives life. Therefore, when it comes to Yom Kippur, the Maharal teaches, Yom Kippur is an olam boror. It's a very clear world, Yom Kippur. It's a world where there's no achila, there's no eating, there's no shasiya, there's no drinking, there's no physical intimacy. It's a day of returning to chaye haneshama, to the life, the inner life of the soul. It's Olam Habadik. It's Olam Habadik because Olam Haba, that life beyond this miserable world, true life beyond this world, is a life without eating, without drinking. Tzadikim Yoshvim, Atrasayim, Bereshayim, and enemies of Ashkina. It's a life where the soul lives in the presence of God, without any sveikis, without any doubts, without any pain. Chaye HaNesham. Therefore, Yom Kippur, the Maral teaches, and it's found in many places in his Torah, Yom Kippur is a day of Tchiyas HaNesim. But any time that a person enters into the life of the soul, any time that a Jew tries to find his way back into the Olam Bora, into the clarity of what life would be like if we didn't get caught up in the eating and drinking, dot, 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 dot. What would life be like? Anytime we have that feeling, we have a little bit of that clarity of Chai HaNeshama, we are involved in the process of the resurrection of the dead, of Tchiyas HaMeisim. Because the Neshama was dysfunctional, was in a dysfunctional situation. It was ignored and neglected, and for all practical purposes, it was dead. And when we enter back into the world of Seichel, of the truth, of Metzius, of reality that we've been talking about these weeks, this is Tshuva, which is Yom Kippur, a day that's like Olam Haba. It's Kula Neshama, Kula Seichel, Kula Metzius Yom Kippur. It's an Olam Bor, it's a true, clear world. Even Jews are the whole year that's totally confused. Yom Kippur, a Jew understands what's the Tachlis. And therefore, it's an aspect of reviving that which was dead. The seichel is reignited. The neshama is reinvigorated. But Rabbi Sai, the neshama, of course, is only part of the story. The Rabbi Shalom, the master of the world, decided that he would pull out from under the throne of his glory, as I explained this morning, he would pull out a fiery Jewish soul, Nishmas Yisrael, the Madbeh Shel Eish, that half a shekel from under his throne, and then the Baruch Shalom put it into the guf, into our bodies. It's like a slot machine. The Baruch Shalom slipped the neshama into the guf. Because the mitzias of a Jew is not only the neshama, even though it's the pnimius, but that's not all we are. The mahus of a person is the neshama and the guf, is the soul and the body. And therefore, as we spoke of many times, ultimately, the end of who we are going to be at the end is not according to the Mekubalim, in disagreement with the Rambam. The Mekubalim all hold, as we spoke of many times, that ultimately, after Olam Haba, after that world of the soul, where there's no eating or drinking or being in this world, that ultimately the neshama will be back in the guf, will be back in the body, and eternity will be spent in a state of neshama with the guf. The ultimate end of a human being, of a yid, is neshama and guf. And here's where Purim comes to complete the Tchiyas HaMeisim. Do I have to translate each time? I think we all know this. Here, Purim comes to complete the process of Tchiyas HaMeisim that begins on Yom Kippur. That began on Yom Kippur. the Gemara defines the Yeshua of Purim in Yudalad, in Gemara Megill Yudalad, Mimisa Lachan. Even without the Gemara telling us that, we know that Haman Amalek had bought the Jewish people with the intention to utterly destroy us. Not to convert us, not to in any way teach us a different path of life. Plain and poshut, just like his enikel hitli yamach shemayim, the no chachmas, whether it's with a gas chamber, or whether it's mass shootings, whatever. But the tachlis was la'abed, is la'harug, la'hashmid, is kol ha'yehudim, every single Jew, to be killed. So the Gemara says the Yeshua of Purim is mimisa l'chaim, was from death, we were supposed to die, it was already sealed with the seal of the king. And the seal of the king in Megillah doesn't only mean Ahasuerus. It means there was a gzeira of death. There was a decree of death. But it wasn't the death that was hovering over the Jewish soul. It was death to the Jewish body and soul. It was complete and total death. Haman was going to kill every Jew. Therefore, Mimisa l'chaim of Purim, the nahapaychu of mimisa l'chaim, of from death to life, is tchias haguf, is the resurrection of the body from the malach hamavos, from the angel of death. You know that when the Rishoyim were executed after the Nuremberg trial, you know, it's very, very well known that, I don't want to say, it's already bad enough that I said one Russia's name, but you already know that when they were killing the last one, he said Purim Fest. He said it's the Purim Festival. And that Purim began, the Purim of the downfall of the Nazis, that began in Shushan. Hopefully it's going to end very soon, Bez Hashem. And that's the meaning of what the Vilna Gaon said. Remember, the Gaon said that Purim and Yom Kippur together make a whole. Yom Kippur is the beginning and Purim is the completion. Truthfully, on Yom Kippur, we should be having a seudah. We should be having a big feast. It's a yontif. And Yom Kippur, we should be eating and drinking. We should be enjoying. It should be freilich, tshuva. There's no greater joy in the world than a Jew coming back to God. Yom Kippur should be, the body should be engaged in the simcha of Yom Kippur. But Yom Kippur is when the soul is revived from death. And it waits, the neshama waits to the yontif of Purim. And the Suda of Purim, Purim is a day which is kulay guf. Like I mentioned last week, there isn't a time, there isn't a moment to use the seichel on Purim, right? The seichel is out. The seichel is on vacation. On Purim, everything on Purim, the shalachmanis, everything is physical. The shalachmanis, the matonis le'av yoinim, the Suda's Purim, the drinking of Purim. What was incomplete on Yom Kippur, what wasn't finished on Yom Kippur, is completed on Purim. Because the Kaimas Ha'adam, what a human being is a neshama and a guf. The revival of the neshama, the resurrection, the tchiyah of the neshama, is in the clear world of Yom Kippur, where there's no eating or drinking or anything, it's the neshama, the seichel, is ignited, is revived. But that's not the entire person. The entire person is the neshama in its shidduch with the guf, with the body. And therefore, Purim is the tchias haguf, because Purim is when Haman was going to physically annihilate us. The Gemara says that the Venahape, who the salvation of Purim was, Mimisa Lechayim, from physical death, from physical annihilation to life, together, those two, the half shekel of Yom Kippur, which is the revival of the Neshama, Kulay Neshama, the day of Yom Kippur is entirely spiritual, and the day of Purim, which is completely physical, through that amazing shidduch of Yom Kippurim and Purim, there's a tchias hamesim, which ultimately means the neshama with the guf together. Tchias hamesim means the entire person, and the entire person consists of a body and a soul. Therefore, on Purim, each and every one of us is able to taste. Is able to taste, to have a foreshpice, an advance, a little bit of a preview of what it's going to be by Tchias HaMeis. And that's what the Gemara tells us, an amazing thing we're not going to go into right now, but you know the Gemara tells us that there was a Maisa where Rabba Kam Rabba Veshachta Reb Zeira, that Rabba at the Purim Suda killed Reb Zeira. That Rabba, they were drinking, and it's obviously a very deep thing, all this foreign talk about it. And Rabba got up and he killed Reb Zeira. And then he brought Reb Zeira back to life. And then when he invited him the following year to the Purim, so the Reb Zeira said, Shkoyach. Nisim, it was a miracle list. Yeah, I'm not trying that out again. But come Rabba v'shachtel Reb Zeira. The Gemara reveals to us that there was in Pashtus a Maisa, a Tchias HaMeis that took place in the Gemara. Kam Rabbi V'shachtel Reb Zeira. And there was a Tchias HaMeis in Purim. Now we can understand on a deeper level what we were learning last week. Ad lo yada. That the Inyan of Purim is Ad lo yada. There's such a thing of reaching the highest level on Purim by coming to a place where I don't know anything, where I don't realize, either by falling asleep, where I lose my consciousness, or when it comes to drinking, again, in a safe and holy way, when a person loses a clarity and an awareness of Ben Aruham Baruch Mordechai. What is the meaning of Ad lo yada? Listen carefully. The body on its own, if we talk about each one separately, the body on its own, left to its own devices, when it's not married to the seichel, to the neshama, the body on its own is given to all kinds of craziness that we see in the world. The body on its own, without its being mechuber, without its shidduch, without its zivik, without the neshama, without the seichel, the body on its own is crazy. It's crazy. It says in Pasuk, b'loy das nefesh le'toiv. Without das, nefesh means the body. Without das, without seichel, the body is in a bad state. It's achim vei. B'loy das nefesh le'toiv. Without das, it's bad. Because the body in its own is meshuggah. It's crazy. It does crazy things. As we learned last week, remember I spoke about last week, gave a marshal, when the Rebbe or the teacher leaves the class, it's crazy. The kids start to do crazy things. Rebbe's not here. When the neshama, when the seichel is not with the body looks around and says, do you see this? This is gewaldig. The Rebbe, the teacher, the seichel, the neshama is on vacation, and the body is, ooh. If Chalila, we had a day off from Torah Mitzvahs, Chas v'Chalila, there'd be a moment off from Torah Mitzvahs. Now that's true, that the body itself is capable of terrible damage, it's terribly self-destructive. That's true. calls man, that Amalek is in the world, listen carefully, calls man that there's Amalek. That means when evil is thriving in the world or in the body, when the body is left without the babysitter / soul, then the body goes nuts and does all kinds of crazy things. That's what the Gemara means. When a person doesn't obey, it's a rosh tos. We know that according to the deepest teachings of Torah, that the neshama never participates in an aveir. God forbid when a Jew sins, the neshama has to go out before. It's like a person experiences some level of death. So that's true as long as Amalek is in the world. But Purim is a day of Mechias Amalek. Purim is a day where Amalek, the effect, the power, the grip of Amalek, is eradicated. I mean, there's a Mechias Amalek, obviously it's not complete. But there's a Bechina of Mechias Amalek. That means that on Purim, every Purim, even if the Guf is in a state of Lo Yada, that means, even if a person does not have his Da'as, even if he doesn't have his seichel, even if he doesn't seem to have his wits about him, we're not afraid that, God forbid, le'ira ra, we're not afraid that the body is going to slip into evil, that the body is going to go and be out of control. Because ad lo yada means that there's revealed in the body of a Jewish person, that the body of a Jewish person is itself be'etzem kodesh v'tar, I'm going to explain, that once Amalek is erased, once the cancer, the filth, the tumor, the pollution, the poison of Amalek is extracted from a Jew, then the body itself becomes neshamadik. I'll explain what this means. And the body itself is lifted to a madrega of what it's going to be like by Tchias HaMeisim, the ultimate resurrection of the dead. That is the guf that's going to be by Tchias HaMeisim. What does that mean? Ad liyada, even without thinking, the body itself is pure and holy, like the body that we'll have by Tchias HaMeisim, even without thinking. So David HaMelech said, Ashiva Ragli Gala Deserch, my feet, my legs, carry me back to your mitzvahs. Carry me back to your Beis Medrash, to learning. And I'm sure that you know, Chazal Darshan, and Chukaisai Teleichel, Chazal teach, that David HaMelech would leave his house, his palace, and sometimes David HaMelech said about himself that he was leaving to go someplace else. Doesn't tell us where, but it doesn't sound like he was going someplace that was the best place. And David HaMelech said, well, what could I do? V'raglai, my lichais oisi lebeis HaMedrash. But in the end, my legs, my feet, carried me off back to the Beis HaMedrash. In other words, I left the house thinking I was going to one place, but my feet, my body itself, carried me to the Beis HaMedrash. And I ended up back in the Beis HaMedrash. Which is the v'nahapichu that happens to a lot of guys in yeshiva, you understand. They thought they're going to go to Beis HaMedrash that day. And then they say, I don't know what happened. Raglai Merlichas, I see, Lamakimploni. I ended up, I didn't go anywhere. I just stayed in bed. By David HaMelech, Ashiva Raglai L'Desecha means that I thought that I was going this place or that place. In other words, my Seichel told me, listen what this is. I thought from Seichel that I'm going, I was planning, I had my plans, I was going to go do this or go do that. To go do different things. And what happened, Lamaisa? I don't know. My feet, my body got the better of me. Raglai Marlicha is Aisila Besamedrish. And involuntarily, because the babysitter was going to do something else. The Baal Seichel. But my body, Raglai Marlicha is Aisila Besamedrish. My body ended up taking me back to this medrash. And this is what Chazal Darshan on the Pasuk in Bechukaisai Teileichu. Where those who are familiar with the teachings of the Baal HaTanya, Chusilin, know. But it's by other tzaddikim, but especially in the Tanya. Not in the Tanya itself, but especially in Lekutei Torah and the Baal HaTanya's teachings. That chok law, a law that we don't even understand is a chok, right? Is a lashon of chakika. What does chakika mean? No? What's hakika? When something is engraved, deep, through and through, engraved. Hakika. So the Alter Rebbe says, there's such a thing, where a Jew is so completely, totally saturated with what? With the Rebbeinu Shel Olam, with Ratzon Hashem, where a Jew has returned to HaKadosh Baruch Hu B'tchila Rechim with such love and such fear. And he is a person that's so Yom Kippurdik and so Purimdik that the body itself is engraved with the Ratzon Hashem, is engraved with God's will. In the Slotimus form it's called Emunas Ha'evarim, the faith of one's limbs. That means that there's such a thing where one's limbs faithfully carry out God's will. That even though your seichel said, like I was explaining last week, sleep, relax, it's okay, but you can't because you have to go to shul. You have to go learn. You can't. You can't do something that's against, by tzaddikim, they can't help it. If the years of refining the bodies, if the years of Yom Kippur, of a clear world, of depriving their bodies of what? Of eating and drinking and indulging in this world. If the years of clarifying what's my tachlis in this world. Dovra Melech's body, the tzaddik's body becomes so engraved, etched with God's will, that the body itself can't disobey the master of the universe. Even when the seichel's on vacation, and this is revealed on what day? On one day. On Purim. And not with everybody, of course. You understand? As I explained last week, there are people who never, when they drink on Purim, they become big, big shaitan. They make a chil Hashem and bizyonis. They're not supposed to be drinking. They can make one lechayim. And do other mitzvahs with more sincerity. But for a person who be'emes lived through Yom Kippur, you understand? A Jew who's in the sugi of Yom Kippur. A Jew who has half the shekel. A Jew who has been trying to revive his neshama. By what? By bringing it out from the deathly grip of this world. And enlivening the neshama with an olam bara, with Yom Kippur thoughts, Yom Kippur feelings, and overcoming tayvus and struggling with this world. When that Jew comes to Purim, when a tzaddik drinks on Purim, ad lo yada. The greatness of the tzaddik is revealed more beautifully, more profoundly than any other day of the year, because then even when the tzaddik's seichel is gone, everything he does is shining with God's light. His body, everything he does, every movement, every act, every smile, every joke, everything is godly. The body is set on automatic. Ad lo yada. And that's the Kabbalah's HaTorah of Purim. That's why in Kippur there's no eating, and on Purim everything is eating. And the Kabbalah's HaTorah of Purim of Hada Kiblu of Bimei Achashverosh Kimu VeKiblu. The Kabbalah's HaTorah of Yom Kippur of the second Luchos was incomplete because man is not only a soul. A man wasn't meant to fast and to starve himself and to deprive himself and to live in a way of abstinence. That's not the ultimate purpose of man in the world. God didn't have to send the neshama down for that. The ultimate purpose is Yom Kippur together with Purim. The neshama in a shidduch with the guf. And therefore the Kabbalah Satorah of Purim is complete, where the Torah becomes engraved in the kishkas of a Jew. Not just a nice idea. The neshama is very gentle. The neshama is very edel. It's very fine and refined. And the seichel, the neshama, is gewaldige machshavos, gewaldige thoughts. But how do you act when your neshama is on vacation, when your soul is on vacation? How do you act when you're not thinking? Who are you be'etzim? Is Yiddishkeit engraved in you? Or are you making a believe? Are you faking to impress people? Because when you have your thoughts about you and your wits about you, you know how to put on a good act. But if you don't have your seichel, you're lost. So comes the Purim. Hoda kiblu b'me'achashverus, the Kabbalah Satorah of Purim is a chakik in the guf, in the body. This is what we're talking about last week. That's what I was trying to explain. How do you really know that you're living in the world in the metzias of a Jew? Until Purim, you don't really know that, because it could all be theoretical. When you're in the Olam Bara, when you have your thoughts, when you're thinking, when you understand, it's not the same. It doesn't mean that Yiddishkeit has seeped into who you are. It's what you think. It's what you want. It's what makes sense to you, and that's good. It's Yom Kippur. But how are you noch Yom Kippur when it's not Yom Kippur? When you're eating and drinking, to eat like a Jew, to sleep like a Jew, to walk like a Jew, to talk like a Jew, to play ball like a Jew, to laugh like a Jew, that Yiddishkeit is engraved in you. That when you cut yourself, Yiddishkeit comes out, not blood. Like they say about the Tzemach Tzedek, that if somebody cut the Tzemach Tzedek, Chassidus came out, not blood. Till a person is a yid, be'emes a yid. And our chassidus shiur on Monday morning, this should be sounding familiar to some of the chavra, unless I've totally failed to convey that point, which is very possible. Those who are learning, we're learning together the last few weeks, the kuntres a part of the kuntres ha'avoda of the Rebbe Rashab, the Rebbe Shalom Ber from Lubavitch, Chusa Gelein. And the Maimer, or this section of the Maimer, is dealing with Kabbalas Ol Malchus Shamayim. Kabbalas Ol Malchus Shamayim. And the Rebbe Rashab talks there about what's the meaning of Kabbalas Ol Malchus Shamayim. We're familiar with that term, to accept upon ourselves the yoke, the Ol Malchus Shamayim that we've accepted upon ourselves. We're familiar with that term. The Rashab writes, again, this is familiar, those who are learning it know this. Nirgash bai tamid ol ha'adayin. The Rebbe compares this to a servant. To a servant, a slave, who feels every moment of his life, even when he's not actively doing something for the master. He feels upon himself the ol of the adayin. The ol, the employment, the yoke, the reality of the master is upon him. The gam kishu meruchak min ha'adayin. Even if he's far away from the adayin. Even if he's far away from the master. Ein yaitzim min ha'ol hazeh. He doesn't go away from that all of who he is. Evan Avraham Anoichi. That's what Eliezer said. He spoke with him many times. Far away. With different people. People who are not like Avraham. Eliezer announces, Evan Avraham Anoichi. And many times I've said here over the years, when you go to work, you come to work and you say at work, Evan Hashem Anoichi. I want to make it very clear from the beginning. Evan Hashem Anoichi. I don't steal. I don't flirt with the secretaries. I do my work honestly. You know why? Eved Hashem Anoichi. I'm a servant of God. But you're not in shul. You're not in yeshiva. So, you might be the only Shomer Shabbos person in the office. But the definition of Kabbalas Al Malchus Shemayim is you're so used to this. To what? You're so used to this life. You're so used to it and comfortable with this reality of who you are. It's not something that you do for a living. It's my mitzvahs, like we explained at the Shir. I'm the servant, the son of your maidservant. This is my mitzvahs. So the Rashab says, he's used to this. He doesn't feel that it's hard for him. Oh, you have to go to shul today. Oh, yeah, I can't do this aveira. Oh, you have to do this mitzvah. Doesn't feel that. Like David Mel says, I don't know any other way. That's who I am. My feet take me to that place anyway. I go there anyway. This is who I am. And in Tofrei Samach Vav, which is brought down there in the notes, in Tofrei Samach Vav, again, we learn this together, the Rashab explains that a true Eved does not have to struggle each time where there's some possibility of doing something against the master's will. It's not a milchama anymore. Maybe when he started it was hard. When he began it was difficult. But he doesn't fight with it anymore because it has become his teva. It's engraved in who he is. That's who he is. And he abdecha ben amasecha. And he writes, Nase etzlei k'moy teva benafshei mamish. This has become the teva, his nature, his second nature, the nature of the Eved. Mamish. Lo says ha'ol v'hamasa v'hatoyra chagodl v'avoyda kosha, that he carries upon his back the heavy load, but he doesn't feel that it's heavy. This is who I am. If a person is not used to schlepping, somebody who was raised with a good life, in a good life he didn't have to schlep. And he finds himself, my father described to me when they came to the concentration camp, when they got off the train, whatever, the cattle car, when they got off that train. So my father said that there were ladies, there were fancy people, there were rich Jews. My father says they came there with wearing white gloves and fur. That they got off the cattle car, and my father said he was there together with a cousin or somebody, and my father said, what's going to be on these people? They're going to have the hardest time. They didn't know what exactly was going to be, but it was clear that they were not talking, this was not going to be, you know, Camp Tagola. So, I don't know why I said that, camp is just from the old days. I never went there, but there was such a place. And it was clear this was not going to be fun. They saw when they got off. This was not going to be good. But they had ladies there, but they came off. Imagine they were able to grab one suitcase or something. Which, of course, the Germans took everything away. And they came there with white gloves and mink stoles to go for their trip. Hashem Yerachem, a person that never had to schlep, that never had to work hard, or that had an easy life, for that person, everything he has to carry is an all. It's unbelievably heavy and difficult. But if this is who you are, this is who you are. Your whole life, you're a schlepper. But in a good way, a holy schlepper. So the Rashab explains that such a person is his teva. Therefore, he doesn't have to struggle. Should I get up and go to shul? This aveira looks interesting. I ought to try it. Maybe I shouldn't try it. I shouldn't. Back and forth to do a mitzvah. I don't know. It's hard for me. I'll try. This is my mitzvahs. The Rebbe explains that even such a person sometimes has a new kind of a nisayon. Of course, a new type of a test. We're not talking about that. But the general mitzvah of this person is, Ani avdecha ben amasecha. Even if my seichel says, maybe I'll do this, but my feet carry me to do the will of my master. to carry out the will of my master. This, the Rashab says, is called Kabbalas Ol Malchus Shemaim, and therefore he explains, as we're learning in that Maimer on Monday mornings, that one, that the Eved doesn't feel this, his Galus HaNefesh, remember, he doesn't feel this as something conscious that he has to think about and work on. The Rebbe calls it a Hergish, that's Ne'elam, it's hidden in the person, it's in the Kishkis, it's in who he is. This is who I am, I'm a Yid, I'm an Eved. And therefore, there are places I don't go. Do you want, aren't you interested in going there? Wouldn't you like to try that? That's not my serious. You ask me what I, it's like asking a zebra, would you like to be a giraffe? I could read about it, but I'm not a giraffe, I'm a zebra. You ask me a kasha. It's not me. This can only be with Purim. Where Yiddishkeit is a Kabbalah of Kiyumu, of a Kiblu, of Adla Yada, even if I don't think about it, I have to make a cheshbon, I have to decide. It's not a struggle anymore. It's even on my seichel, which is the one that reasons and rationalizes and grapples with ideas and concepts, is out to lunch. I don't need it anymore. That's what it means, Adla Yada. That the guf, the body of a Jew, is lifted up, mi misa l'chayim. This is the tchias ha-mesim of Purim. The tchias ha-mesim of Purim is that the poison of Amalek that was killing our bodies, that set our bodies on the automatic mode of doing stupid, disgusting things that were bringing the body down with the neshama into the filth. That the poison of Amalek has been extracted to such a degree, and there's a chakika of kedusha, the neshama is imprinted and engraved in my essence, the shidduch between the neshama and the guf, the half shekel of Yom Kippur and the half shekel of Purim is so complete to the point of kiyum of the kiblu of kabbalas malchus shamayim. So now, through Purim, a Jew is able to what on his own in his mitzvahs to eat like a Jew and to sleep like a Jew and to talk like a Jew and to dress like a Jew. And he doesn't have to think each time, maybe this is a little bit I shouldn't do. I should do. Maybe it's not nice to wear this. Maybe it's okay. And I don't know. And have to have a vote. And have to this and that. This is the mitzvahs of who he is. That's the tchias ha-mesim of the neshom and the guf being brought back to life. Because with Amalek in the body naturally is inclined towards every filth and immorality. So it's through Purim that a person becomes be'emes, completely rooted in the mitzias of tchias ha-mesim, of eternal life. When you make a l'chaim on Purim, that's what it means. The l'chaim on Purim doesn't mean a regular l'chaim, like on a nice, on a Shabbos, or l'chaim by a tikkun or something on a yard site. The l'chaim of Purim means the l'chaim of tchias ha-mesim. And in the l'chaims of Purim of Ad L'Yad, a person's able to taste Vashasiyah Kadas, Ein Oines. Ein Oines means I don't have to fight anymore with my body. Therefore, the whole Purim is eating and drinking, and the body is allowed to be. The body is allowed to be on its own because the body can be trusted on Purim. Because on Purim, the body lives in its shidduch with the neshama in such a way where they become one and the same. Like a husband and a wife. Etzem atzamai. One and the same. Like Rabbi Levine said, my wife to the doctor, my wife's foot is hurting us. We spoke about that many times. When they went to the doctor, my wife's foot is hurting us. When the neshama feels the guf, and the guf feels the neshama. Like Rabbi Nachman said, we learned in Chassidus, by Rabbi Nachman last Monday, that the neshama has had to have rachmanis on the guf. God doesn't want the neshama to ignore the guf, she has to have rachmanis on the guf, and to help the guf, and the guf has to be with the neshama together. Now we can understand why the Megillah is called Divrei Shalom Ve'emes, Divrei Shalom Ve'emes, words of peace and truth. That's what it's called in the Megillah Esther, Divrei Shalom Ve'emes. It's an interesting term. Words of peace and truth. What does that mean? They're nice words. What does it mean? Divrei Shalom Ve'emes. Why is it called Divrei Shalom Ve'emes? There's a letter that we have written by Rabbi Nochum Ziv from Kelm to Rabbi Yeruchim. Listen to the words. Leimotz HaKadosh Baruch Hu Kli Machzik Brocha El HaShalom. Chazal say that the Baruch Shalom, the only Kli, the only vessel that can really, really be Machzik Brocha, that can really hold all blessings, that doesn't have any holes in it, is Shalom, peace. And the Tzaddik explains, Ha'odam Murkav Miguf V'Nefesh. Rabbi Nochum Ziv writes to Rabbi Yochum, the person, a human being, an Adam, is composed of a body and a soul. Shnei Ktzavos Saisrim L'Chayr Zev Zev Mikol V'Kol. Two opposites that seem to contradict each other from one end of the world to the other end of the world. Like a man and a woman. Chazal dash from that. We know from the Zohar Kodesh that Abba Avinu is called the Neshama and Tzayim is called the Guf. Shnei Ktzavos Saisrim L'Chayr Zev Zev Mikol V'Kol. Haguf Ktzei Hagasis V'Hakirus. The body, the physical body, is the extreme of all that is unrefined, coarse, gasas and akirus, thickness and coarseness and ugliness. Vanefesh, the soul, say hazakus, is the other extreme of pureness and of refinement. He goes on. Skip a little bit. Vine kol amoloi shel adam. All of man's work in this world is lahashlim eshnei hachalokim ha'ela, is to bring together these two parts, to make shalom between the body and the soul. The half shekel of Yom Kippur and the half shekel of Purim. To make shalom between these two halves, sheyelchu b'shalom v'shalva kol hayomim, that the body and the soul should be able to live together in peace and tranquility all of their days. Sheyiyu le'echad mamish, that they should become one mamish. Tzomelucha nafshi, my soul longs for you. David HaMelech says, Koma lucha b'sori, and my flesh yearns for you. That's the tachlis of a Jew. Tzoma lucha nafshi, koma lucha b'sori. The nefesh is the soul, and the body itself yearns, the flesh itself yearns for God. V'hinei ends and says, Zeh kol omel ha'adam kol hayoyim. That's all that we're working on all day long. All of life is la'asai sholom ben achalokim ha'elam. To make peace between these two halves. And that's why the Megillah is called Divrei Shalom Ve'emes. Divrei Shalom, to make peace. Purim is to make peace between the body and soul. Purim is that the neshama should have a chakiki in the guf. It should be engraved in the guf. And that the guf should open up its arms for the neshama. And the guf is in that place of even ad lo yoda. The guf will behave because the neshama is so completely part of it. It's etzem atzama, it's a chos nekel, husband and wife. V'hoi l'basarecha. Koma l'cha b'sari. V'hoi l'basarecha mamish. And that's why the Gemara tells us that din by Megillas Esther, that it requires etching. The lines have to be etched. Kamitas Torah, the Gemara says an extraordinary thing. Kedushas Levi has a homimer, and it's a big thing in Chassidus that the parchment has to be engraved by the Megillah. Kamitas Torah, the engraving of the parchment of the Megillas Esther means that the whole mitzvah of the Yom of Purim is the engraving. Is the seared, where Yiddishkeit is seared into the body of a Jew. And now we could finish, we could understand the Gemara. When Esther HaMalkah sent the messenger to Mordechai to find out why was Mordechai going around with the sackcloth, you know, what's going on, what happened, So she sent Ladas Mazev al Mazev. Right? Mazev al Mazev. What's going on? That's how we would say. What's going on? What happened? Mazev, what is it? Val Mazev, and why is it? What is it and why is it? Now what happened? Ladas Mazev al Mazev. So the Gemara says in Tesvav Megillah, Shema Karfu Belucha is Dechsiv Behen Mizeh Umizeh Hen Ksuvim. Esther Malkin knew what was going on. She said, but she was trying to understand why did this happen. Perhaps the reason that this happened is because the Jewish people have rejected the Luchos, the tablets, which were engraved with the Ten Commandments. And it says by the Sefer Dibros, Mizeh Umizeh Hen Ksuvim. They were engraved through and through. You can read it from both sides. The Sepela. What does that have to do with the Sefer Dibros? The Sefer Malka standing back. Mazav al Mazav. What is this? And the Gemara Darshans that is talking about maybe the reason that this has come upon us is because we're not living. We have to make ourselves Purim dik. We have to have Purim why? Because we have failed to live up to the Luchais which are written Mizeh Umizeh Himtsu. What does that mean? It means that Esther Malka was saying that the reason that the Malach HaMov is, the reason that Haman is standing over us, the Malach HaMov is, the reason that we're in danger of death of the soul being separated from the body, is because we have forgotten that to be a Jew means Chorus al Halucha is the Yiddishkeit engraved in you. Even if that party is a kosher party, you don't go. If it's not right, then you don't belong there. And you don't bow down to Haman. Even maybe you can find a reason, Allah, that it's okay. Mordechai couldn't bow down. You know why he couldn't bow down? Because he was engraved with Yiddishkeit. And if we're able to decide that it's okay to bow down, that means that Yiddishkeit has not become saturated in the essence of who we are. And that's what I was screaming about this morning. Who's going to be our leaders and who's going to take us out of this sorrow that we're in? But the Malach HaMov still has a way to come into the Beis Medrash in Yerushalayim. Mizeh u'mizeh, she said, maybe we're a kofer, maybe we've lost connection to that way of being Jewish that's called mizeh u'mizeh, like the tablets, like the luchas, where God's will, where God's words were engraved through and through the stone, through and through the body. And if that's the case, it means that the soul and the body are not totally unified. And if the soul and the body are not unified, that means that death is still in the world. That means that we could die. That means that God forbid the Jewish people are in danger of being annihilated. Because the definition of death is the separation of the soul and the body. Tchias HaMeisim means that there's such a metzias that the soul of a Jew is so completely engraved in his body that the body becomes neshamadik and the neshama is eternal and the body is eternal. And a guy can't kill a Jew in that way. A Jew can't be destroyed. It's supposed to be like, you know, Lahavdil, we grew up in the comics and your superhero, nothing ever happened to him. Or you would, Lale, you turn on the television, and no matter what sorrow this guy had, but he was back on next week. That's the way it's supposed to be. A Jew can't be destroyed, Batson. Mizeh, mizeh, and ksuvim. Tchis HaMeisa means that Yiddishkeit, when Yiddishkeit is chayrus, when it's chayrus, when it's engraved on who we are, then it's chayrus, then we're free from the angel of death. Whether the angel of death is wearing Haman, or the angel of death is Hitler, or the angel of death is Abbas, whoever is the angel of death. You know, it holds nothing over us. That's why if we would understand that, then we would do tshuva that we're supposed to do, we'd be mizeh mizeh ksuvim. Nobody could hurt us. The bullets would bounce off. Nothing could harm us. Nothing could hurt us. Nothing could destroy. No missile could damage not only a building, not a leaf in Sderot. You understand? Not anything. If there's shalom, so they're talking about making peace with the Arabs. If the leaders over there would make peace with their neshamas and their guf, we'd tell the Prime Minister to start eating kosher when he comes to America, he eats chazer with the goyim. Tell the Prime Minister to start to keep Shabbos. Bring our people back to the Rebbeinu Shalom, all of us together, mizeh mizeh k'suvim, to be who we're supposed to be, divrei shalom ve'emes. Divrei shalom with Arabs, there's never going to be. You know why? Because it's not emes. Divrei shalom ve'emes. There's no shidduch between a Jew and a Yishma'eli. There's no shidduch. And that's why it says in the Megillah, another 2 minutes, V'yimei ha'purim, it says these days of Purim, Elo yavru mitoicha Yehudim, v'zichrim l'yosef mizarim. Where, from where does Purim take that quality of being eternal? Where it says in the Megillah itself, it'll never go away. The other Purim is invincible. Well, all the other Yom Tovim, somehow, on some level, are going to become less. Purim is invincible, invulnerable. Purim is Superman. The bullets bounce off of Purim. Nothing can destroy Purim. It says in the Megillah, it will never go away. It's a promise of Nitzchias. Because Purim means Mizeh umizeh, when a Jew is Mizeh umizeh, when his Yiddishkeit is Michtev Elokim and Maiseh Elokim, where everything he eats and drinks and sleeps and talks and walks, everything is Yiddishkeit. Not something that you do a little bit like this, you dabble a little bit like that. Mizeh umizeh. That's what it means to be in the Metzius of, in the Metzius that we're talking about these last months, the Metzius, and to be aware of the world of the Dimyonis. The Dinyon is that there's some other kind of shalom for a Jew in this world. Ain shalom, there's no shalom by the Rishayim, there's no concept of shalom by the Rishayim. Amalek will be destroyed. And the destruction of Amalek is something that you and I are going to participate in, Be'ezras Hashem. But for our avoda right now, our avoda is an avoda of Kabbalah Somach Shemayim. What can we do? So I know what the answer always is. What can we do? We'll write to the, you write to the congressman. You have to, what can we do? You vote for, you have to vote for, the, for either this one or this one or that one. This is what the Jews can do. Right, it's going to be coming out this whole week in the newspapers and all different kinds of things. They're going to be talking to Jewish leaders and they're going to be giving answers to us what we could do to make it better. And you can go to the Knesset, and there's a suggestion box outside, you could drop in a little kvittel, and maybe he'll get it, His Royal Highness will get the kvittel, and he'll read the kvittel, and he'll see on the kvittel that it says over there, Mizeh Mizeh Ksuvim, why don't you become a Jew? Why don't you live like a Jew? Why don't you remember what it means, Mordechai Lo Yichrev Lo Yishtachve, why don't you remember what it means, Ish Yehudi Hayu B'Shush Nabira, instead of bowing down and kissing the feet of our enemies? No. What it means to be a Jew, an Ish Yehudi, to be proud and to be real and to be strong. That's our avoda. Kabbalah Sol Malchus Shemayim. To bring ourselves back to life. That's all we could do. That's a big thing. It's not, it might not be as glamorous as going on the next mission to Sderot or something like that. Not that I'm against people who go on those missions. I already see the advertising, Shabbos and Sderot and that whole thing. I don't have much of a stomach for that stuff. It's much easier to get on an airplane and to make a trip than to change one thing in your life. One thing. There should be one thing in Yiddishkeit, a good, fleishigs, you know? Not milchigs, not parv. Good, fleishigs, deep inside. And you want to do it, you should be a schus for our brothers and sisters by saying, HaKadosh, that for sure is a big thing. And you know what? You don't tell anybody, you don't become part of the sisterhood and the brotherhood's project of doing this and doing that. We're going to put it in the New York, in the Jewish Times of North Shore and South Shore and West Shore and East Shore, and put it in the paper and get your picture on the front over there with holding some rabbi and smiling with a thing and a plaque, and I'm now in this thing. Nobody in the world knows about it, only you and the master of the world. Mizeh umizeh. To be in a shidduch like that, that's a schus. That's a schus for our brothers and sisters. And with that schus of bringing ourselves back to life, The Baruch Hashem should bring those boys and the soldiers and all Jews and all boys and girls and all of our people who over the years were killed because they're Jews. Because even a guy, even an anti-Semite knows that a Jewish body is holy and pure. That the world, they're afraid to have in the world Jewish bodies. What are they afraid of? They're afraid of some 15-year-old that's sitting over a Gemara. They are afraid. They're very afraid. But we have to be afraid. We have to realize who we are. And that's chus. We'll be zeicher to see that time. We'll take it be a bilam avos on that sach, where the Malach HaMavis will be sent away, will be destroyed, and will be zeicher for that time that Hashem is Baruch HaMocha, Hashem Lekim Dimma Me'al Koponim, that we say by a Levai Lo Aleinu, there shouldn't be any more Levais, Chasnas, Simchas, Chasnas, Lon Lukoy Yisrael Amen.